Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we'll be starting this morning. Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. You know, this verse teaches us, you know, to be careful with our words, with how, you know, who we call a fool. And I think, you know, maybe we think of Mr. T or something whenever we think of, you know, calling somebody a fool. But I think this goes further into, you know, are you idiot, are you moron? You know, we say it when we're, you know, we're driving down the road, somebody cuts us off, somebody does something stupid. You know, it makes us feel better for the time being. But, you know, we're told not to here in Matthew to do this kind of thing. And yet God himself classifies his own types of fools. He is allowed to call people fools. And that's what I want to look at this morning. What God considers to be a fool. Who God considers to be a fool. So let's start in Psalms chapter 14. 14th Psalm. We'll read just the first verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The very first line there, there is no God. You know, God considers this a fool. Somebody who considers there to be no God. Maybe those who've gone to college see it more. I don't know. I haven't been out in the rest of the world yet. But in college, you know, it's like there's this overwhelming mentality that if you believe in God, you're some kind of idiot, you know? That's stupid, Jesse. What are you doing? There is no God. Of course there's not. Well, God considers this to be foolish, you know, foolish mentality. You know, I myself don't see how you can look at the design and nature and not see God. But there are people who do it. Romans chapter 14. Excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Proverbs chapter 12. Kind of goes along with a proud mentality. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. You know, we have these people, I think it does go with a proud mentality. You know, they don't want to submit to the idea of there being a supreme being, even though they may know, you know, there is one. They just don't want to admit it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. And let's look at Romans chapter 14. This is the point I was getting at. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You know, in the end, it doesn't really matter. One way or the other, they are going to know God at the end of it all. And it's sad, brethren, you know, that people ignore God. You know, when we think of ignoring somebody, it's the thing that you're ignoring is there. It doesn't go away, but you're choosing to not acknowledge it. And I think in the end, that's what, you know, these atheists, that's what they're doing. God hasn't gone anywhere. They're just ignoring his existence. So, the notes I have, it's separated into an atheistic fool and egotistical fool. But I think they kind of go hand in hand. You know, there's an ego mentality that goes with it. Let's back up a few chapters to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll start in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. You know, I think this kind of pertains to both. You have, I think of the people that Paul was talking to in Athens at the Areopagus. You know, people that probably are like Plato and Socrates, these people who think they're very wise, and yet they believe in all these false gods. They acknowledge the supreme being, but it wasn't the God, the one God. And, you know, it's, I think, again, it ties into both very well. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The Athenians, it was idolatry. That was their folly. And then atheists, that there isn't a God at all. Next, we have a disobedient fool. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, anybody who's done any kind of work on their house, you know, home renovation, whatever, you, when you're tearing into an old one especially, you see lots of shortcuts that people take. You know, the, oh, that's a great idea. You know, cut a little time off here. My dad liked to watch Do-It-Yourself Network a lot for a while. And there was this show where this lady would go and buy old houses up in the Northeast, and she'd fix them up and sell them. That's how she made her living. And one of the things to the intro to the show that you'd see on every episode was she's on a banister, and she pulls off this paneling on the rail, and behind it there's these, you know, these pretty, you know, I guess posts in between the banister. And somebody had just covered it up with cheapo paneling, you know, and she's like flipping out over it. Why would you do that, you know? She, you know, if somebody wanted just a straight, smooth panel, they could have taken out the rail and put in one like they were supposed to. But instead, they just covered it up. You know, kind of a slap happy job. And you know, I think the fool here who built his house on the sand probably wasn't thinking, "Oh, I want my house to fall down." You know, he's probably looking for the easy way out. You know, it's easier to build my house right here on the sand. You know, it was a decision, a conscious decision, not an accident. Then we have the rich fool, a familiar story to us all. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" You know, for a long time when I was a kid, and we'd read this story, I used to think that the folly of the rich man here was that his ground yielded plentifully. You know, that he had all these riches, and I thought, well, that's not good. You know, if your ground yields plentifully, are we just, you know, damned? How does that work? But, you know, his folly was that he hadn't planned any further than that. He had put all his stock into his land, into his barns, into his riches. He hadn't planned any further than that. He had satisfied his soul with material goods, and those didn't last. They didn't save him. Let's see. Then we have kind of another two that kind of go hand in hand. The babbling fool. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. You know, this word prating, I had to look it up. That's not one of those words that I use in my, you know, everyday conversation. Prating means to talk excessively or pointlessly. And, you know, that's the idea that we have going on here. Somebody who just talks and talks and talks and talks. And it's kind of like a shotgun blast, you know. You kind of point it, but there's no telling where it's going to go. What, you know, whatever comes out of their mouth, you could have harmless things. You could have things that could do a lot of damage. Let's look over at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and curse. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter come from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You know, this is just the thought I came across. You know, man has tamed all these creatures that, you know, this passage talks about. All these things man has been able to tame. And yet we can see the truth and the wisdom in his statement that even today we have not been able to tame our tongue. You see it in the news all over the place. People just spouting off at the mouth without thinking about it. That's the folly that we're getting at here. You know, when you have something as powerful as the tongue, it ought not to be bridled with folly. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, how many times do we hear somebody, they'll say something, and maybe they didn't think it through, and it came out harsher than they meant for it to. And then at the end they go, oh, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry, you know. Well, that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's saying, every idle word, everything you say when you're not thinking about it, because you are thinking about it, just maybe not as much as you should, everything you say, you're going to have to account for. You know, there are no excuses when it comes to our tongue. And then I kind of think this goes hand in hand with the babbling fool, but then we have the meddling fool, or the arguing fool. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. In verse 3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. You have that friend or coworker that just loves to argue with you. You know, it could be over something stupid. I don't know what it could be over, but they just love to argue, and they don't even have to be right to argue it. They just like to argue. And this is the quarrels that they're talking about here. You know, and meddling, that idea of meddling. You're arguing with somebody over you have something you have no business arguing about. This is folly too. And then we have the careless fool, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." You know, here we have this idea of carelessness with our souls. You know, whenever we go out on some outing, maybe it's a picnic, maybe you're going camping, you know, maybe it's a spontaneous idea that you just, "Hey, let's go for a picnic." You know, and you don't think it through, all the stuff that you need. Okay, we need drinks, we need sandwiches, we need blankets. You just kind of go for it. You know, maybe you're prepared, maybe you're not. And when you do something like that, you know, maybe you forget your umbrella and the forecast is, you know, rain, and you come out looking like a drowned rat later. You know, it's kind of funny, it's kind of a sense of adventure, we call it, you know, just going with the flow. But when it comes to our souls, you know, that's the ultimate gamble. It's the ultimate gamble, is our souls. Is that something that you want to risk by being careless? You know, maybe it was that similar thing for these virgins here. Maybe they thought, "You know what, let's just go for it. You know, we've got enough oil for a while, right? Let's just go for it." You know, and then suddenly they became worried about it. And instead of purchasing it while everybody was sleeping or bringing it with them in the first place, they waited until it was too late. You know, that's the folly of these 10 virgins. You know, in conclusion, everything I see here, you know, all of this folly, a lot of time when we think of fools or morons or idiots or whatever, we think of somebody who can't help it. You know, somebody who's just not very intelligent. They can't help it. They can't make good decisions. But, brethren, everything I see here is a decision. The decision to make shortcuts, the decision to make, you know, gambles with precious valuables, the decision to, you know, open your mouth when you shouldn't. They're all decisions. And to me, it's like God is like a parent to their child. "Please, don't do this." You know, because it's only hurting them. He doesn't want to see us hurt. He doesn't want to see us injured. And that's what this is about. He's warning us not to do these foolish things, just like my mom tried to tell me not to, you know, touch the iron or, you know, stick my hand up on the stove. Yeah, those are stories too. So You know, it's the same thing. It's just on a higher level. You know, nobody likes to be called a fool, and yet if we fall into any of these categories, God is calling us a fool. He's the one person who is allowed to call people fools, and if we fall into any one of these traps, then we're foolish, brethren. You know, I'm not known for being long-winded, but that's the lesson for you. If you're here and you're subject to the call of the gospel, if there's anything we can do for you now, if you need to come forward and for the praise of the saints, you can do that now as we stand and as we sing.